This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to our new feature, Washtenaw United. Every Monday, we're going to bring you the people and the voices that seek through a variety of ways to better connect our communities and establish the opportunities and relationships that will enrich us as a whole. With that in mind, WEMU has partnered with the United Way of Washtenaw County to identify and bring you the people to share those stories. Today, that voice is Yodit Mesfin-Johnson. She is Chief Operating Officer and Vice President of Strategy at New. That's an Ann Arbor-based organizational consulting firm specializing in solutions for nonprofits. I should also mention that effective this month, Yodit is to become the first African-American to chair the board of the United Way of Washtenaw County. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. I'm excited.
Today we want to focus on one of the great challenges in our community and the work that's being done towards solutions, and that is implicit bias and equity. If you don't mind, when I say the words implicit bias, what does that mean to you?
You know, Dave, implicit bias really refers to the attitudes, stereotypes that affect our understanding, our actions, our decisions in unconscious ways. They are the snap judgments that we make. Implicit bias is rooted in our most reptilian brain. It is our brain's way of fight, flight, or freeze, of ordering people and instances that come at us. And many of those decisions are happening thousands and thousands and thousands of them at a time. Because it's rooted there, but also informed by society, by stereotypes, implicit bias is also often racialized.
That is how I think a lot of people manifest that out into the community. And in your description, what I really hear is it is our internal fears being externalized.
Absolutely, and confirmed all the time in society, right? So we know, for example, that African Americans are often depicted and criminalized in the media. And so as a society, we form these beliefs then in our unconscious bias about African Americans as criminals. And so then when we're in the, you know, store parking lot and we see an African American man, our immediate thought often, not always, is that he is a predator.
So when we start to look out and we consider equity, we have to accept that there is inequity among us. And with that in mind, in your work, when I say the term equity, what does that mean?
I appreciate you framing it as acknowledging inequity, because equity really is a start. It is recognizing that applying justice and some common sense to a dominant system, a dominant culture here in this country that has historically and institutionally marginalized and oppressed many communities, but in particular people of color, then equity is about attending to that, Dave.
How has implicit bias played a role in your personal and professional lives? How have you experienced that?
I observe, my personal experiences, recent experiences, people in audiences. I do a lot of public speaking. Oftentimes after the speech will come up to me and they'll say, "You're so articulate." And they mean well, and they mean that I can speak
well. But the intimation is that I'm surprised.
Exactly. I'm like, do you mean like for a black woman? So that's one of the ways that I've frequently experienced people's bias around who's intellectual or who's articulate and who isn't. In our work, and particularly at United Way, you know, we did work with our grant reviewers. We have a coordinated funding system here in the county, and we worked with grant reviewers to think about what were the ways in which their own biases were showing up in grant-making decisions. So one example of that is, how is a grant written when organizations have the resources to hire grant writers, for example? You get very sophisticated grant applications. Grassroots organizations may not have that luxury, and so there's may not be written as well. So one of the things that we ask grant reviewers to think of is the context, not the content.
So if we take that into consideration, we can find that implicit bias is pervasive. What are the implicit bias that you have had to acknowledge that you carry with you?
Sure. I think most recently I was working with the Ann Arbor Center for Independent Living, mm-hmm. and thinking about ability and really the intersection of privilege, our own bias, What I learned is that about myself is that I have an opportunity to learn more about the ability movement and people who have disabilities, and more importantly, how I think about having them at the table in key decision making and organizing work that we're doing here in the community.
So this really reaches out and has tentacles and touches all parts of our lives for all of us.
Absolutely.
One of the most visible ways that we experience implicit bias is when we talk about policing and community relations, and it comes on both sides of the fence. The fact that there is a metaphorical fence speaks to that. Is it one of the issues that the United Way is going to be involved in and has been involved in?
You know, I don't foresee that being a priority for the organization. What we are focused on is creating space for the community to come together and to talk about how racism, how gender bias, and other forms of oppression take place in our community. Certainly, the relationship with the police department is one of that, but Sheriff Clayton is obviously skilled and masterful in the work of implicit bias and is working with his teams, and so we're going to allow him to continue to lead that charge. But certainly, we know that this is a community dialogue and a community conversation, and our community should know that United Way will be in this conversation, and we're going to be in our lane, which is really around poverty eradication and supporting leaders of color in our community who are advancing justice.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and you are listening to Washtenaw United. It's a new feature you'll hear every Monday in which the stories of our lives in Washtenaw County will be brought to life. Our guest today is Yodit Mesfin-Johnson. She is Chief Operating Officer and Vice President of Strategy at New, an Ann Arbor-based organizational consulting firm specializing in solutions for nonprofits. She is also about to become the new chair of the Washtenaw United Way. And Yodit, we've been talking about implicit bias, and because that is related to equity and inequity in our community, I wanted to shift the focus to that area. Would you agree that equity is largely achieved through opportunity, and it's opportunity that is often out of reach for too many?
I do. I think inequity persists in this county in particular because we have such income inequality. 37% of the folks in this county are living check to check or at or below poverty. So certainly opportunity is a role in that. But if we relate this back to this conversation about implicit bias, it really is the responsibility of each of us to think about what we believe about who should have opportunity here and who should not or who doesn't, and to confront our own internal biases. We've got to look across the 23 divide in our county. We've got to look into our out counties. We've got to really confront in a courageous way the ways in which we are complicit in the oppression of children, in particular in this community, but also Black, Brown, and Indigenous folk.
You mentioned the 23 divide, and just to clarify, those living west of U.S. 23 tend to live with more privilege than those living east of the highway, and that is not just perception, that is statistically proven, correct?
That is correct. If you are Black or Latinx in this county and you live on the eastern side of the county, that is to say in Ipsy Township or Willow Run, your life expectancy is 10 to 17 years less than your white counterparts in Ann Arbor and west of 23. So when we're talking about the divide, we know that there is deep disparity, not just in health, but in academics, in income inequality, as I mentioned earlier, and several other factors.
So we've identified problems and we've kind of taken a look internally. Now let's look externally towards solutions. What are some of the short-term measures we can take to continue walking the path toward greater equity and less inequity?
Yeah, I appreciate that. The acknowledgement that we have these issues is the first step towards those solutions. And so one of the things that we've done countywide, which I'm extremely proud of, is that our Washtenaw County Board of Commissioners adopted this past September a racial equity policy. What this did was develop a department within the county that will be focused on some of those disparities that I mentioned. So I think that's an important step. Racial equity and equity in general cannot just be a moral imperative. We've got to attend to it in the policies and procedures of our community. So I'm really proud of us there. I'd also say I'm in the community a lot, and there are a number of efforts at work to confront inequity. The county health department is working with members of our community to understand health disparity. Of course, the police department is working very diligently to repair and restore relationships. Our juvenile justice centers are exploring and adopting restorative justice practice with our youth. One of the things I'd like to see soon is that none of our young people are, especially those under 18, are incarcerated. So as much as we have these deep disparities, I am inspired by, catalyzed by, galvanized by the real and present efforts. One other shout out to the Ann Arbor Area Community Foundation, which is directed literally hundreds of thousands of dollars towards supporting children in the eastern side of the county in terms of academic achievement. So, you know, while there is much to be done, much in the way of strides has been made, and I'm really proud of our community.
As our time together winds down, I want to ask one more question, and that is going to take it back towards the individual. It may be a little easier or more palatable to look at the community and societal issues than it is to be rigorously honest about ourselves and our role in the challenges we face together. What do you ask of us as individuals to consider when it comes to implicit bias and inequity?
I think that for my white colleagues and friends, that the biggest fear that they have is to be proven racist. And it stops and blocks us from them from moving forward. And so I am asking and compelling of white folks in this community to confront the realities of racism, how they've been complicit in perpetuating it. This is not about how we feel individually. This is about how we're going to shift white supremacist culture and dominant culture such that people of color can thrive in our communities. And so this isn't that we can't be shy, we can't be hesitant, we can't be afraid to make mistakes. We've got to be courageous, as I said. And one thing that you asked me about implicit bias, and I felt like I fumbled through that a little bit. So I wanted to circle back and talk a little bit about poverty and how we think about who it is that's a leader in this community. And one of the biases that I've had that frankly is influenced by that dominant culture and the characteristics of dominant culture is who we believe can lead and who we source information from. So one of the biases that I've had is worship of the written word. And I have in my practices forgotten to look back into the community deeply to draw from the wisdom that is there. And so not only am I checking myself in this moment of remembering how important that is, but that's one step that our community and each of us can take is to question, why am I thinking this way? Or why have I not taken a step further? Why is fear immobilizing me or causing me not to create really true belonging in this community for all of our citizens?
And it is why you will continue to be one of the great leaders of our community. I thank you so much for the time today.
Pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Dave.
That is Yodit Mesvin-Johnson. She is Chief Operating Officer and Vice President of Strategy at New. It is an Ann Arbor-based organizational consulting firm specializing in solutions for nonprofits, and she is about to become the first African-American to chair the board of the United Way of Washtenaw County. You've been listening to WEMU's new feature, Washtenaw United. It is created and produced in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County, and you'll hear it every Monday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.